السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. قالوا ادع لنا ربك يبين لنا ما لونها قال إنه يقول إنها بقرة صفراء فاقع لونها تسر الناظرين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. We're continuing the discussion between Musa alayhi salam and the Israelites. This is ayah number 69. The last ayah, Allah had already communicated to them. First, Allah had told them that it's a cow that is neither too young or too old, it's middle-aged. But then also he ended the discussion, or he said something that should have ended all the questions. He said, فَفْعَلُوا مَا تُؤْمَرُونَ. Do what you've been commanded. Stop thinking, overthinking it and asking too many questions. Just do what you've been commanded. In other words, that statement in and of itself suggests that there is no more room for further questions. But these people still didn't get it. So they continued the questioning, which means that they weren't done ridiculing the status of Musa alayhi salam and undermining the fact that these are actually commandments of Allah. So قَالُوا ادْعُ لَنَا رَبَّكْ يُبَيِّن لَنَا مَا لَوْنُهَا. They said, you know, call on your master so he may clarify for us what color it is, what is its texture. قَالَ إِنَّهُ يَقُولُ. Now, once again, Musa alayhi salam says, for sure it is he, meaning Allah, who says, إِنَّهَا بَقَّرَةٌ صَفْرَاء. It is a cow yellow in texture, it's a yellow cow. Now, that's a strange color for a cow. It's not very common to find that color. By the way, it's considered the most exotic color in ancient traditions for the cow. Okay. So now, first of all, it's yellow, which is hard enough. Now what we're learning here is the more questions you ask about something that is meant to be clear and simple, the more questions you ask, who are you putting in trouble? Yourself. You're only complicating life for yourself. The Sharia was vast, it was open, it was flexible, and by asking too many questions, and not asking questions to understand better. Now there's a different, I spoke about this on a separate occasion, perhaps not here, but it's very important to note. There's a difference between asking the messenger and questioning the messenger. So when you ask the messenger, you're trying to get answers, you're trying to understand better for yourself. But when you pose your questions in a way that aren't meant to understand, you're actually questioning the authority, the legitimacy, the integrity of a messenger, then you're only going to put yourself in further trouble. And a lot of times, people frame their questions in matters of Sharia in a way that is disingenuous. It's in a way that it's already suggesting that I'm not convinced that this is a commandment that I should be following. So the question is very telling. It's very telling of the psychology of the questioner. So here they're questioning the integrity of the messenger and of the commandments themselves, right? Because the first thing they said is, this is a joke. Are you taking us to be a joke? So they're playing that joke further. Now they say, what color is it? You know, if you're really getting that much clarification, how about some information on the color? He says it's yellow. But he doesn't stop there. Now this is Allah instructing through Musa alayhi salam. So he says, فَاقِعُ اللَّوْنُهَا. Brilliant, deep, and startling is its texture. That's the word فَاقِع. It's used for texture that is deep, and it's brilliant. It's eye-capturing, right? فَاقِعُ اللَّوْنُهَا. تَسُرُّ النَّاظِرِينَ. And he didn't say لَوْنُهَا فَاقِع. It's فَاقِعُ اللَّوْنُهَا. There's a kind of, you know, movement of parts of a sentence here, which suggests it's especially brilliant. It's a kind of texture that you won't normally see. And he adds to that, تَسُرُّ النَّاظِرِينَ. It would please those who would stare at it. The viewing audience. Now there is someone who looks at something for a long time. Now what does that mean? I think many of you who've gone on a road trip with your children can attest to this. If they see something strange, like, you know, when I used to live in New York City, seeing farm animals was very strange. Because you know, now we're in Texas, so it's okay, you know. So, but you know, when we go out in the country or we're traveling, you know, out south or something, and the kids see a bunch of horses in a field or they see like a cow or something, their eyes are glued to the window. Whoa! And they can't take their eyes off of it, right? If a really fancy car goes by, تَسُرُّ النَّاظِرِينَ, everybody stops for a moment and, you know, and unfortunately this kind of thing happens with car accidents. You know, there's a car accident, everybody's got like, they got to take a really good look, see if they catch some action and then move forward, right? So the idea of something being so spectacular that it captures the eyes and the viewing attention of anybody who's passing by. The surru al-nazirin, it should be that stellar of a texture for a cow. Now, it's already hard enough, but they've got their answer. What do they say now? قَالُ ادْعُ لَنَا رَبَّكَ يُبَيِّن لَنَا مَا هِيَ. One more time. So they, you know, what this last question, some ulama, especially Islahi rahimahullah, made interesting comments about this last part. He said they started realizing that they're getting themselves in trouble. And they started realizing that they're going to be in under some very serious wrath of Allah. So they actually started hunting for this cow. They actually started looking around and, you know, and now they can't find it. So now finally they're coming back with a question that has, even though it's still not very serious, it's got a touch of sincerity in it, and we'll see that. They say now, what is it? Can you clarify for us, what is it? Which was the first question, mahiya. It's again, mahiya. Clarify for us, what is it? إِنَّ الْبَقَرَ تَشَابَهَ عَلَيْنَا. This cow business, this issue of the cow, is becoming confusing for us. It's, you know, it's leaving us in ambiguity. وَإِنَّا إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَمُهْتَدُونَ. And this, and for sure, if Allah wills, we are going to be guided. In other words, not guided in instructions in life, guided towards the right cow. We need guidance further so we can get to the right answer now. And it's, Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah commented, it is because of that statement that Allah actually allowed them to reach the right cow. And because of their previous questioning, they didn't deserve to even fulfill the commandment of Allah. Because when you fulfill a commandment of Allah, that is a favor of Allah on you. When you get the opportunity, the honor to obey Allah, then you are in good standing. Well, because of their questioning, they don't deserve to be in good standing. But then they said something that had a speck of sincerity in it, and it is because of that Allah Azza wa Jal gives them clarification, and He says, قَالَ إِنَّهُ يَقُولُ إِنَّهَا بَقَرَةٌ لَا ذَلُولٌ تُثِيرُ الْأَرْضُ وَلَا تَسْقِي الْحَرْثُ مُسَلَّمَةٌ لَا شِيَةَ فِيهَا. He says it's a cow that hasn't been milked, it hasn't been put to work, it hasn't tilled the soil. You know, it's a cow. Now understand, when cows are too young, they're calves, you can't put them to work, they're too weak. When they're too old, they're not as good at doing the work. So what's the best time to put the cow to work? When it's in the middle age, right? Now it's in its middle age, that's already been established. Now they've got to find a cow that is this awesome in its texture. On top of that, it's never been put to work. And one of the benefits of the cow to milk it hasn't been milked either. It hasn't been violated in any way as far as human, you know, labor is concerned. And on top of that, Allah added another condition, which pretty much makes it impossible to find such a cow. What is that other condition? The other condition is مُسَلَّمَةٌ لَا شِيَةَ فِيهَا. It's absolute in its texture, and it's well built, it's a strong cow, and it has no blemish. In other words, it's good to find a cow that's 90% yellow and has got a couple of black spots here and there. No. لَا شِيَةَ فِيهَا. It can't have any blemishes. It has to be 100% paint job. It has to be perfect, that color. In other words, this would practically be impossible, except if Allah guides you to it. Now, the narrations whose authenticity can be questioned, Allahu Ta'ala A'lam, I'll just allude to them briefly, because even though the guidance of the ayat in and of itself is complete, we might get some indication as to further benefits from these narrations, which is that, you know, they eventually did find this cow, and it was given to this child in inheritance. This young boy owned it, and he refused to sell it because his father had given it to him before he passed away. And they said, they tried to convince him to give it to them, so he said, fine, I'll give it to you. Give me its weight in gold. So it cost them pretty much the entire, you know, capital of the Israelites to have access to this cow, something that would have been very simple and straightforward had they obeyed Allah in the first place, right? So now Allah says, فَذَبَحُوهَا. Then they slaughtered it, fine. وَمَا كَادُوا يَفْعَلُونَ. And they almost didn't do so. They were almost not going to do so at all. In other words, initially the intent wasn't to go ahead and fulfill this commandment. It is only because pressure was building on them, and perhaps the issue of the murder was becoming so serious that they were going to, you know, come under like a civil war type of situation. They realized, we have to solve this thing. There's no way we can solve it. Well, maybe Musa is right. Well, he's been right a couple of times before, so we'll just go with him. Right, so they were kind of put in a corner where they had to do this. Otherwise, they weren't inclined to do so at all. فَذَبَحُوهَا وَمَا كَادُوا يَفْعَلُونَ. Now, at the end of all of this, Allah Azza wa Jal mentions the story behind it, and this is a very interesting thing Allah does in the Quran. Allah, you know, I gave you the story about them having killed a person, and this was Allah's commandment how to reveal the murderer, etc. Right? But Allah didn't start the story like that. Actually, now after this entire ordeal, now Allah is saying, وَإِذْ قَتَلْتُمْ نَفْسًا. When you had killed a person, when all of you had killed a person. Amazing language. Not everybody killed a person, did they? One person killed. But because there were other witnesses, and because they were refusing to get to the right answer, who does Allah declare guilty as a verdict? The entire society. If you are part of the injustice, then you're pretty much part of the, you know, you're part of the act, you know. You condone the act itself. So now, إِذْ قَتَلْتُمْ نَفْسًا فَالدَّرَأَ دَرَأَ in Arabic, it's actually تَدَارَأَ, it's idgham, it's in morphology, the word gets, you know, altered in its spelling. Literally, it means to throw something at one another. فَالدَّرَأْتُمْ فِيهَا means you are throwing accusations against each other. You must have done it. No, you did it. Or you didn't like him. Well, nobody liked him. So, you know, they're going back and forth against each other. You know what this suggests? If the murder was not solved, they were going to end up killing each other. فَدَّرَأْتُمْ فِيهَا وَاللَّهُ مُخْرِجٌ مَّا كُنْتُمْ تَكْتُمُونَ. And Allah concludes this ayah, He says, and Allah is the one who brings out what you have been hiding. Now this part of the ayah, to me, it's really beautiful how Allah does this, subhanahu wa ta'ala. A couple of things here. The first thing is, you don't have to know the story to learn the lesson. The thing Allah wants you to know is don't question His commandments. So the full details about the murder, who was murdered, who was the killer. I mean, when you hear about a murder, it's like a murder mystery. You want to solve the mystery, right? Allah is not going to entertain us in letting us know who killed and who got killed and what were their names and, you know, how did it work out in the end. Nope. None of these things. Because that's not the point here. That's not the point. Two audiences. The primary audience is the Israelites, who already know all of this history. They're being given a summarized version, so Allah is reminding them what they already know. But who's the other audience when these ayat are revealed? The Muslims. And the Muslims will not benefit from the historical details. What will they benefit from? The lessons themselves, the guidance itself. So Allah says, when you had killed a person, you were pointing fingers at each other, and Allah will bring out what you have been hiding. In other words, Allah didn't say, وَأَخْرَجَ اللَّهُ مَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْتُمُونَ. Allah brought out what you had been hiding. He didn't put it in the past tense, meaning Allah solved that murder. He says He continues to do that. The things you keep hiding, He keeps bringing them out. And the things you've been hiding, كُنْتُمْ تَكْتُمُونَ استمرار. You've been hiding them, and Allah continues to bring those things out. He continues to expose them. This idea is going to come further. Since Allah has alluded to it, in future events, this lesson that Allah will keep exposing what people try to hide will keep coming up. It'll keep coming up over and over and over again. What things they have in their book and they hide. And Allah says, I know what you have. And He tells them what they have in their book and exposes it before them. Or the things they say in secret and they don't say it to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah Azza wa Jalla exposes what they've been hiding. Wallahu mukhrijum ma kuntum taktumun. The next ayah is a very deep parable. Inshallah ta'ala, tomorrow, I think it's been announced already, but tomorrow I'll have a brief session before Isha, and I'll have a long session to test your stamina after Isha, because I believe Monday is off for most people. So inshallah, we'll try to cover as much as we possibly can. Probably an hour, hour and a half session after the Taraweeh are all done. So for the brave souls in the audience. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-Hakim, wa nafa'ani wa iyyakum bil ayat wa dhikr al-Hakim. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Oh yeah, and there's a Nadwa session also. I was asked actually, my brother Nuruddin to conduct a session, and I agreed to it. That's tomorrow here in the afternoon after Dhuhr. It's around 2 o'clock. And hopefully it's of interest to you. It's called the future. It's about the future of the Muslim community in America, essentially. And what are the challenges in front of us, and what are the opportunities in front of us, and how we need to kind of have an open eye as to the time and the place we're living and how we can construct a strategy to move forward as a Muslim community in this country. Inshallah ta'ala. So I hope you and your family can attend. That's at 2 o'clock tomorrow here. Bismillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.